And we don't quite have a quorum, but we want to get started because it's starting to snow again and people want to sit in traffic for a while tonight, so we'll try to get you out a little earlier so you have that opportunity. Commissioner, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members, and thank you for a return invitation this afternoon to pick up a second piece of the Department of Administration's overall plan. And what I'd like to concentrate on today, Mr. Chair, is to talk about the Governor's 2004 capital budget request. There are seven projects in the Governor's overall bonding proposal that are under the purview of the Department of Administration. The overall theme for these projects is to take care of what we already own. This is not really a year where we're proposing building a lot of new things, but really to preserve the facilities that we already own. This afternoon, I'm going to turn the majority of the presentation over to Assistant Commissioner Kath Auska, and she'll cover the six of the seven projects, and then the last project will be covered by Assistant Commissioner Jerry Lovering. And so without further ado, I'll turn it over to Kath. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Ms. Auska. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Just for the tape again, I'm Kath Auska, Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Administration. As Commissioner Lamb indicated, we have seven projects, and I'm going to speak to six of them. Our first project is a request that this committee, those of you who were on the committee 2 years ago, have heard before, and it's a request for trunk highway bond funds to repair the exterior of the MnDOT building on the Capitol Complex. When we had looked at it 2 years ago, we had just discovered a problem with the exterior. In preparing the capital budget request, we talked to industry people in the Midwest to get an idea of what it would cost. Their estimates were in the neighborhood of $12 to $14 million, depending on how we phased the project. We have since, and just I guess to back up for a second to remind people of the issue, is that the structural supports for the 1,200 pound granite panels on the exterior of the building are failing. And so we need to take the panels down, replace the supports, reflash it so water doesn't get in and rust the supports, put the panels back up. We took a look at whether other alternatives other than the panels, because a lot of the cost is frankly to take the panels up and down. We looked at a number of different scenarios, and frankly, this is the most cost effective. What we have done, because it's a life safety issue and we are concerned, it's not a matter of if the supports will fail. It's a matter of when. We certainly want to get it repaired before that happens. So what we've done in the interim, because it ended up in the highway bill 2 years ago, and that bill was never moved forward. So we're coming back this year. And what we've done in the meantime, again, recognizing the urgent need here, is we've done more of the designs. We've got more of the details down. We've again marketed it to industry, saying, you know, okay, now that we can explain to you better what it is we want, tell us what the costs are, and we've been able to get the project down. So instead of asking for $12 or $14 million, we're now asking for $8.7 million. The building will be done. The plan is to do probably the two shorter sides, which should be the north and south of this summer, and the longer sides the next summer. Moving on to CAFRA. If it's okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to go through and if you got questions, will that work for you?
That's fine.
Okay. The next is the CAFRA fund, and that governor's recommended $4 million for this. This is the capital asset repair and replacement account. We have several mechanisms and money that we use to maintain buildings. CAFRA is the fund that admin asks for, and it's used by other state agencies. We also have asset preservation funds. Those funds do the same thing. They fix the exterior envelope of buildings, but they are asked for by agencies. We have made a change this year in that, in addition to known projects, CAFRA always supports emergency projects also. we have found ourselves with sort of duplicating lists. The agencies have lists of asset preservation projects. They submit a list of CAPRA of the needed projects. In an effort to be more efficient, to use our money better, to manage our facilities better, what we're doing this year is projects that agencies, known projects that agencies would have asked admin to include in their CAPRA budget are now being asked in agency asset preservation funds. CAPRA is going to be for emergencies and for unanticipated hazardous material abatement projects. So it'll still be available to all agencies. It's there for the emergency. But typical roofing projects or window replacement projects that you would have seen in CAPRA in past years are now being requested in the agency's asset preservation budgets. We feel as though this will be, it will really make better use of funds. It will allow us agencies to manage and prioritize their facilities better. It will allow us to group some of the projects better because we're using the same funding source of money, and just that reduces a contractor's overhead. So we feel it's going to be more efficient and better quality. Moving on to our third request, which is agency relocation. Relocation dollars are requested in the general fund dollars, and it's a source of funds for relocation, for moving, for furniture, for transition rent, and it's used either with new building projects, for example, with the BCA, VHS buildings coming online, that request is in here. It's also used for whenever we repair a building. We're doing work in the best service building right now. We move people out, renovate the building, move them back in. We need general fund dollars to do that. In addition to known projects, which are listed on table one on page 16, I believe, we also always ask for money for unanticipated moves. I know the last couple of years there have been a number of agencies have downsized as part of they no longer needed that same amount of space, and in order to efficiently manage their budget, we've been able to consolidate their space, the space that they're in, and where needed, this money gives them a pot to our funds to be able to do that. And overall, again, we're saving state dollars. Moving on to our fourth request. Asset preservation. This is, as I mentioned, with CAP, where every agency has an asset preservation request. This is admin's asset preservation request. We have not, or admin has not asked for an asset preservation request for a couple years because we had our facilities repair and replacement account where depreciation that is paid by all agencies using space in the capital complex. A couple years ago, that used to go to the general fund. A couple years ago, it was given to admin to repair the buildings. Last legislative session, half of that amount collected was returned to the general fund. And so the 6.6 here is what actually was taken from that account and moved back to the general fund. And we list several projects here. I could go over them in detail if people would like. Otherwise, that's a good way to that account.
Why don't you just go through them real briefly?
Sure. Sure. The first one we have here is a Veterans Service Building. With the FR&R account, we've repaired the fourth, third, and second floors. We've done abatement. We've fixed the mechanical system. We would like to do that for the first floor and the basement also. And we would use the asset preservation money requested here for that. We also would like to finish abatement in the admin building. We're unable to get at some of the mechanical systems that need some upgrading without doing an abatement. So we would like to do that. This building, the exterior, the east steps, the substrate is shifting, and so every couple years we have to re-caulk those steps because I was out there looking at the person re-caulking them this fall, and you know, the gap gets to be about an inch, and you'll say water runs in, and we would like to repair this, stabilize the substrate and repair, stop the movement before we get some damage to the interior spaces. We also have the History Center roof replacement. We would like to do that as part of this request. and also replace the air handler in the Centennial office building.
Chair.
Representative Beamer.
Why does the History Center's roof need to be replaced so soon? Or,
Ms. Elska.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beamer. The material on that roof is an EPDM membrane, and those typically last in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 years. And the building is 12 years old, and one of the things that we have discovered with EPDM is that for the first, it's a relatively new, when I say relatively new, 20 years or so system, we used, the industry standard was to use a membrane that is starting to deteriorate. So the manufacturers switch the kind of membrane, and so we would need to replace that. But again, it was under warranty for 10 years. We've done some replacement. We're now at about 12 years, and we need to replace it.
Ms. Alska, I noticed that the original, in the commentary we have here, shows us numerous repairs made under warranty. Why wasn't the new material put in under the warranty?
Mr. Chairman, members, we have replaced where we can get at it the flashing that's on the perimeter, but it's also on the seams, and this is a ballasted EPDM membrane, so it looks like a bed of rocks. There's a river rock that's ballast on there. To be able to move that over and replace the seams costs more than to replace the roof, and so we really need to go through and do a replacement before we start leaking.
Other questions? If not, proceed.
Okay. Our next request is for the demolition of the Ford building. The Ford building is currently vacant, and what we did is about 4 years ago, we took a look at the building, knowing it was a relatively expensive building to operate and be in. We were looking at the need to do some significant upgrades, and the question became, we need to do a good assessment of what to do with this building. And again, we want to be sure that we're making smart, economic choices with our facility. So we had a study done, and they looked at everything from renovating the existing building within its current footprint to adding a small infill. The upper two floors are actually, the building is an I-shape. It's a square down, and the first floor is an I-shape on the upper floor. So we fill in the voids on the I's. We looked at an entire new building on the site. We looked at a new building in addition to this. We looked at keeping the first 30 feet of the front facade of the building, which is a nice looking facade. And really came to the conclusion that the most cost-effective thing to do was to take the building down. Those of you who've walked by it recently over the past couple of years have seen chain link fence on the side. It's actually a soft brick on the side, and in order to protect that, the brick room was starting to crumble. We put up some concrete parging. That started to crumble. We've got some chain link fence up on the sides. So we'd like to do, and actually from a strategic plan, our long-term plan actually shows a new office building on that entire site. So what we're doing is we're asking money to demo the building. We'd like to, at least on a temporary basis, put up a little roundhouse so we can drop people from parking lot C down into the tunnel. So it'll be similar to what's on lot B right now.
No, Mr. Chair.
Representative Beamer.
So is the city in agreement with the city of St. Paul? Have you had conversations with them? I know that the issue around the historical significance was raised and it was in the newspaper, but...
Mr. Chair, Representative Beamer, that's a good question, and we do. It is not on the historical register. I have been in touch with people at the Minnesota Historical Society, but I certainly recognize that it has an historic aspect to the building. And so, what we did is when I totaled up the funds for the building, we set aside in my estimate $5,000 so we could do some historic documentation of the building. Certainly, there's a group called University United, and I think it was quoted in the paper, and I'm going to meet with them Tuesday evening on the 24th.
And Mr. Chair, you're also in consultation with the City of St. Paul over demolition of the building?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beamer, I have not talked to the City of St. Paul about it.
Representative Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Oska, you sort of answered the direction I was looking to go. I know it's not on the historic register, but there is definitely some historic value to this. Have you looked at perhaps either selling it or disposing of it to someone who is interested in preserving the building?
Ms. Hoska.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jacobson, we would certainly be open to suggestions. I think our bottom line is we need to be very careful with taxpayers' dollars. We are not interested in selling the land. If someone is interested in moving the building off-site, we could certainly put out an RFP and do that. The things that we would need to make sure is that we are not spending taxpayer dollars, that we get the building off the site. I'm going to need parking by the time the new agency buildings come online. I've got about 50 spots in them that would be very helpful on this site. And so I need to have some parameters around that, but we certainly are open to options.
Ms. Olsky, you're talking, we need more parking spaces. You know, I think there's other alternatives than maybe just the few spaces we're getting out of here that we could look at, or using having people park in the other private lots around the Capitol complex that are under private ownership, which we looked at last year, were quite competitive in their pricing. So, you know, I think we may want to explore, it's a good idea, Representative Jacobson, to see if there's some historical group that would like to, or a business owner would like to buy and renovate and use it as an office building. I think it would be a very wise use of the property because, you know, too many times in cities today we tear down all the old stuff and put up the new and there's no real history to look at. And St. Paul has got a tradition in their homes and some of their buildings that they've preserved, and I think we should try to keep as much as we could. So we may want to look at that, revisit this whole issue. So you may continue.
And the last request that I'm going to speak on is parking. And there actually involved three things. The first is to expand what we commonly refer to as a COB ramp. Officially, it's the Central Park ramp. And that has a series of staggered levels. And at the southern end of three of the levels is the park. There's also a fourth level that is all park, with actually a Central Park plaque on it. That will remain as a park, but the three levels below that, we'd like to take the southern end, and we think it's a very cost-effective way to actually get some additional parking on the complex.
Also, where is this one located?
It's located, Representative Haas, members of the community, it's located between east of the Centennial Office Building, between Centennial Office Building and the Department of Revenue,
okay,
and the Stassen Building. So it's in a good location, actually, for our new agency buildings.
Okay.
So that would get us an additional 246 parking stalls at what we think is a very reasonable price. The other area we are asking money for is expanding Lot Q. And Lot Q is the surface lot that's kitty-corner from the Department of Administration building. And there's room to expand it to the east. Along with that, because there used to be houses all along there, if you go down, I believe it's Robert Street behind there, what you see is some old stairways that used to go to the that went to the houses that used to be there. There's some old retaining walls, and they're starting to disintegrate, and we really need to clean up that site. So the parking pieces of this request would be user financed. But then it would be bonded dollars for stabilization of the eastern edge of Lot Q. And Lot Q would give us about 106 parking stalls together. That's about 352 actual stalls at a very cost-effective price that actually would not contribute to an increase in the state parking rates. And what we do is, and this is typically done on lots of this nature, we actually can sell more contracts than there are stalls on any given day. Not everybody is there. And so we would gain a little over 400 parking spots by this request. And that wraps up my portion.
All right. Thank you. And who is going to do the last part?
Assistant Commissioner Jerry Lovering is going to talk about this.
Okay. Mr. Lovering?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Jacobson?
Before we do,
came in. Oh, never mind.
Okay. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Jerry Lovin, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Administration. I'd like to talk to you about, present information to you regarding the governor's request in the bonding bill, which is referred to as Cooperative Local Facilities Grants. The Cooperative Local Facilities Grant is to fund construction and renovation of shared facilities or infrastructure. And based on proposals, that would be, it would be a community-driven process, and it would require a match, 50% local funds, 40% state funds, and there would be a $2 million state maximum for projects. The purpose of this proposal is to provide community-driven opportunities for people to come together in a cooperative manner. And it's interesting to me that we are already beginning to hear from a number of communities talking about the ideas and the innovation and the ideas they have that would allow this cooperative, these cooperative ideas to come forward. But most importantly, it would provide innovative methods for delivering services in a better manner and more cost effectively. I think that the opportunity is really an exciting opportunity for communities because we're talking about several different methods in which they could employ or utilize this opportunity. And I think the most important thing is that with this is $50 million that's proposed for this biennium. And if you carry the budget planning purposes out, $15 million for 2006 and then for 2008. There's a brochure that I believe you have available for you that gives you kind of a summary of it. And we really believe that, you know, the opportunity for grassroots government is here and the excitement is there because of the calls we received. But it also provides some opportunities, some examples of what could be provided through this opportunity. It would be, for example, highway maintenance facilities be shared, facilities that would be developed, or emergency service operation centers that would be shared services. And the proposal identifies that counties and cities would, at this point in time, essentially lead the process. But it would involve other local units of government, such as townships, school districts, watershed districts, etc. I met yesterday with a number of people up in Central Minnesota, and it was very impressive that the way they were coming forward talking about they're already engaged in conversations of how they could initiate cooperative ventures and the value of it and the importance of it. And so I think that's a very positive thing that many of your constituents are already looking at these venues, but they do find this to be a very positive opportunity, in fact, a positive venue for them to go forward with, because it does provide for them some dollars to essentially get their ideas together and get off the ground. The proposals would come into the Department of Administration and evaluation, and the Commissioner of Administration, along with a consultation with Commissioner of Finance, would make a selection or determination of selection for these projects. And I just want to assure you that one of the things that we attach to this will be an evaluation process, so that once this goes forward, it will be evaluated and the results can be brought back to you on the success of the project we're talking about. And I think most importantly is that we'll be able to demonstrate to you not only the value to the community per se, but the operational costs, the savings that will be coming forward from it.
Okay. Questions? I do have one. Cities have been getting together for quite a few years and doing cooperative projects, fire departments, you know, joint policing, sharing of public works equipment, you know, doing things like that. Why? I just don't understand the rationale why all of a sudden we have to put money out there to make for them to do it when it's something that they've been doing all along.
There's some of this is going on in some communities, grassroots, and right into here. What we're beginning to hear from folks is that it's, in a sense, different levels. If, for example, in Northwestern Minnesota, I was talking to a woman who said there's three small communities that haven't been doing this, and this is now an opportunity with all the budget issues that they're talking about, of them coming together, and that they can become more efficient to develop cost savings through this project. They don't have essentially what you might refer to as the motivation to do this, or the dollars to bring together to do this. And with this, they feel that they could probably come together with some match, knowing that we're talking about a shared facility that's going to be there long term. And so it's different levels or opportunities that are in different communities.
Because, Mr. Auburn, that's what we did as cities back in the 80s when budget crunches came through and we were getting cut from local government aid and things like that, is we started sharing resources and combining efforts so that we could become more efficient. And, you know, it's just a normal part. I don't know if by these three cities in northern Minnesota, if they're going to look at consolidating services, they are saving money by doing it. And through the consolidations, that's where they have the savings and they have the buying power to do what they want. And they spread the costs, which is a lot less than doing it each one separately. So I don't know. This one I got a little problem with. We're going to have to do some more talking on this one. So, other questions? More comments? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Before you start, we have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting officially to order. And we have the minutes for February 10th. So if I could have a motion, Representative Paymar, like you studied them quite diligently.
I studied them.
Yes, I can see that. Representative Paymar, make a motion to approve the minutes for February 10th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion and carried. And members, today we're just hearing the request. We're not going to vote on any of the bonding requests. What we'll probably do is try to sit down and put together some bill structure recommendations. And Bill, I'll be talking to you as far as what your thoughts are on it. And we'll put together a bill to bring back to the committee, and then we can have a discussion on that. So, all right? Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for coming in late. I had a hearing downstairs and I have to leave again. And I don't know if this is covered. I was going to try to chat with the committee administrator to see if anyone had brought it up. And I'm not even sure if we've gotten this far, but I was flipping through the materials and at the bottom came to the agency relocation expenses. And I was looking at, and these apparently are general fund, which I checked, the general fund is empty. And some of these numbers are rather large in moving equipment and people around and so forth. And in times of cutting budgets, it's hard to justify this. And I know you're on the bonding, but this kind of relates to that, because if you build a new building, I suppose you have to move the equipment. And I saw furniture lease and purchase. What happened to the old furniture? Did it get lost, or can't they move the old furniture? If they're moving, aren't they moving the old furniture? Or what's going on there? I guess I just would like to ask that before I have to go down to the hearing in the basement.
Okay. Ms. Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seifert, I'd be happy to answer that for you. A couple of things. First of all, it needs to be general fund because this is not something that's bondable. And it's a case of where you have to spend money to save money. So either agencies are moving into a new building or agencies are moving, are downsizing, consolidating their space. And the money would be used for those types of moves. As far as the furniture goes, what we've done is we've worked very closely with agencies, particularly over the last 9 months with Halifax and DHS, and they will be using a lot of their existing furniture. What we need to do is balance employee time and the cost of employees with the furniture. And so what we'll do is the first round of furniture that goes in first section will be new furniture. A group of employees will move out of their existing furniture, move into the new furniture. The furniture that they vacated will be then taken down, put up in the new building and the next group of employees. So it's a staged event. So we tried to manage how much do we need to have new furniture, what's the optimal size to really make this the most cost effective and efficient. What we also did is we took a look at how do we purchase the furniture, and we have some options. We can purchase the furniture out of the operating budget, we can purchase it out of the project funds, and what we decided, what we did is the Department of Finance has a lease purchase program for furniture, and we ran the numbers on all of them, and it was most cost effective to go through the lease purchase of the furniture that we are purchasing. But again, we really tried to concentrate on reusing as much of the existing furniture that we could.
Follow-up, Representative Stifel.
Mr. Chair, I guess, so you're downsizing the number of employees, so we potentially could have less there. You said there's project accounts in other places to get money. I mean, is this a, what if they're, let's just think out loud and go a month fast forward and say that the deficit is worse or about the way it is now, and there is no general fund money for this, what happens?
Ms. Holtz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seifert, we cannot use bonded funds to move people. In the case of Health, Ag, and DHS, we could sell more Port Authority bonds to move them. As far as the other agencies, the only funds, certainly they would have operating dollars that, if they had available operating dollars, they could use it on that.
Mr. Chair, it's difficult when the administration tells me we don't have money for lots of things, but we do have money to move agencies around and move into new buildings with new furniture. I just have some difficulty justifying that to my taxpayers back home who are being told no by myself and a lot of other people that we have no money. But we're going to find money for new furniture for a new building. And I just, that's tough for me. I understand in good times this may be something that I wouldn't be as hard-nosed on, but there's some big numbers here, and the agencies felt they needed these buildings. I don't know why they didn't build into their budgets. Now, in the meantime, we had a shortfall, so that maybe caused the problem, but I have some difficulty with it, and I assume that that we weren't going to have a general fund target here, but I don't know if targets are going to get discussed, but...
It might be a negative target.
Right.
Again, that's the other thing I think, Ms. Olska, we got to look at is, and Representative Seifert does bring up a good point, is the fact that if we have no money and we actually have to cut budgets, what are they going to do? They're almost forced to use all their old equipment and move it at this point. Maybe that's the option that we're going to have to, they're going to have to explore, is to move all of our equipment and furniture in and live with it at this point. Because if we have no money, they're going to have to really eat it within their own budget. If they can absorb it in their own budget, I think it's not going to look real good if they're buying new furniture and we are cutting expenses and then they have to cut services other places to do it. So I think we've got to get some more information on that and some options.
Mr. Chairman, we would be happy to do that. I do want to emphasize that we do end up buying very little new furniture. The focus is on reusing the existing furniture.
Okay. One other thing caught my eye, refuge, landfill, asset recovery, and surplus cost $232,000. What are we doing there? What is involved with that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, not all of the furniture that we have we will be able to reuse.
So it's going to cost us $232,000 to dispose of it?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It's an estimate at this point. That's correct.
Boy, I'd like to see what we're getting rid of. That's a lot of landfill and cost. Okay.
Right. Mr. Chair, is that, Ms. Olson, is that in such disrepair that we can't put it on the state auction or... I don't know if we have a state garage sale or whatever, but that was one of the numbers that really jumped out at me, Mr. Chairman. I don't like filling up landfills any more than, and not necessarily known as a raving environmentalist, but on the flip side of that, I think just common sense dictates we should do everything we can to keep the waste stream minimal, especially as a government. I mean, what example are we setting to individuals, businesses, et cetera, if we as a government are dumping $250,000 worth of, you know, furniture into a landfill? I know this isn't the Environment Committee, but I don't know how, you know, I know we don't want to have a garage sale in the Capitol Mall, but how do we figure this out to use as much of this as possible by recycling in a way?
Yeah. Well, Greg, I'd like to see if we got equipment that's in that and office furniture in that bad a shape that we have to landfill it. Because, you know, then why are we using it right now? You know, it must be good enough to use now, so I guess we need some more information on this whole thing. Representative Jacobson, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Seifert actually got to my point on that, but I do have another one. In relation to the Department of Transportation renovations, why is that being done with trunk highway bonds versus GO?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jacobson, statute requires us to use trunk highway bonds on that road.
Okay.
All right. Questions? Other questions? Okay. All right. We can get some more information on those two items, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to.
All right. Thank you. Other comments? All right. All right. If there's no other business, I guess meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.